Coming up on KUCB News, Unalaska takes action on an effort to ban plastic bags, while state lawmakers do the same for a smoking ban. Stay tuned.
Local news is sponsored by Alpha Welding and Boat Repair Incorporated, providing boat repairs and conversions in Unalaska Dutch Harbor for the last 25 years. Our professionals are trained to use heavy-duty equipment, including boom trucks, shears, brakes, a water jet cutting machine, and a punch machine. Our fully equipped metal fabrication welding shop and machine shop are located at 1149 East Broadway. Alpha Welding and Boat Repair can be reached at 581-1785 or 581-2666.
Good afternoon. You're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM on Alaska. I'm Laura Craigle with some local news on Wednesday, April 11th, 2018. Unalaska has taken its first official step toward banning plastic bags. Last night, the city council tasked the city manager with developing an ordinance to prohibit the flimsy, disposable bags used at grocery stores. Councilors issued the directive unanimously after hearing from Unalaska resident Larissa Syverson.
It's not that a plastic bag ban is going to solve all their problems, but it will help the way we depend on plastic.
Syverson requested the ban on behalf of a community task force that wants to reduce the number of bags littering Unalaska's beaches and polluting the wider ocean. She says seafood drives the island's economy, so Unalaska should help protect the ocean from plastic.
At our current rate, it could choke fisheries around the world by 2050. Imagine catching more plastic than fish.
Similar appeals went nowhere in 2013 when Unalaskans last tried to ban plastic bags, but now the idea is catching on with city councilors, including Dave Gregory.
I support your efforts to try to figure out a way to get less plastic blown around the community.
Still, councilors say they won't vote on a ban until sometime next year. They want the city manager to nail down the types of plastics that would be prohibited and check in with local stores before any legislation is written. Public Utilities Director Dan Winters says the city also needs time to rally support from the fish processing industry, which brings in thousands of seasonal workers each year.
Whatever does come down the line, the people have to care. If the people don't care, especially the transients coming in, if they don't care like the locals care, it's not going to go anywhere.
If the city does pass a ban, the island will join a half dozen Alaska communities that have prohibited plastic bags, including Kodiak, Wasilla, and Cordova. As bag bans crop up across the state, some Alaskans have wondered how much they really help the great outdoors. For Alaska's Energy Desk, Elizabeth Jenkins explored that question after hearing from a listener.
Penny Gage, a resident of Anchorage, has a different kind of skeleton in her closet.
I have a large collection of plastic bags at home, and I feel very bad.
Did you want a bag?
I have gotten out of the habit of bringing my fabric bags with me to the store, and we use them for trash bags or other uses. I'm finding myself using them for everything.
Gage used to live in Washington, D.C., so she's no stranger to a ban on single-use plastic bags. She says Anchorage has some recycling options for plastic bags. Still, she wonders if nixing it from the checkout line altogether could be better for the environment.
Yeah, I'm curious, does it really help if we get rid of plastic bags?
Around the state, the opinion on plastic bag bans seems to differ just as much. Homer City Council passed a plastic bag ban ordinance, only to have it overturned months later by a popular vote. Fairbanks considered a tax on plastic bags, but there was community opposition.
You have to decide in your community, in your culture, what's the most important thing for you. And for in Cordova, it's that we live and die by the ocean.
That's Emily Stolarsik. She's the program manager of the EAC Preservation Council, an environmental advocacy nonprofit. Cordova has a population of about 2,500. And Stolarsik says, in the past, the community was using over 1 million plastic bags a year. She says that's particularly troubling when you consider the town's main economic driver, commercial fishing. She points to studies on microplastics winding up in seafood as a reason to be concerned. So Stolarsik set out to change that. Her organization gifted reusable bags to every household in Cordova. And within a few years, they had enough support to rally around a ban.
And it's better when it takes a long time because it doesn't shock people either when it happens. You know, people need time to get used to the idea of change.
Grocery stores in Cordova still give out bags, but now it's biodegradable ones. Cordova's plastic bag ban is similar to one passed in Bethel about 7 years ago. But according to Bethel's landfill manager, David Stovner, bags are still flying around.
Well, at the landfill, I mean, we got a lot of wind here. We've got fences, but that doesn't stop them all. There's a lot of it that winds up on the tundra.
Ooh, I don't like that at all.
That's Ginny Romer, a lawyer who's worked on plastic bag ban laws in California and New York. She says, in her experience, plastic bag bans work best when there's a fee involved. In other words, if you forget your reusable bag, you pay 5 to 10 cents for a paper one. A similar ordinance in New York City recently failed to receive enough support. Still, Romer thinks those types of laws are better for the environment.
An example of it not being better for the environment is the allowance of biodegradable plastic bags.
She says with biodegradable bags, you're trading one behavior for another. A grocery store manager in Bethel I spoke with said paper bags are too heavy to be affordably shipped to the city, which is off the road system. But Romer thought the fee component could help that pencil out. But getting back to the original question, I asked Mary Fisher, the director of Alaskans for Litter Prevention and Recycling.
Are plastic bag bans better for the environment?
Probably. I guess, you know, from the grand scheme of things, plastic bags are not good for the environment. Neither are plastic anything. You know, you could ban everything, I guess, and it would be good for the environment. But we as humans are not going to do that.
Hi there.
Hey, Penny, it's Elizabeth.
I catch Penny Gage, our question asker, up to speed.
Yeah, this is not a black and white issue, that's for sure.
So, yeah, given all of that, what do you think?
I know I'm definitely going to be using my fabric bags more. I actually want to put a sticky note in my car to remind me.
For now, what Alaskans carry their groceries in is still a personal choice. And with the exception of a few small communities, most cities in the state don't want to tell people how to bring their groceries home. From Alaska's Energy Desk, I'm Elizabeth Jenkins in Juneau.
Meanwhile, a state bill that would ban smoking in workplaces took a major step forward last night. The House Rules Committee passed a new version of Senate Bill 63. Committee Chairwoman Gabrielle Ledoux, an Anchorage Republican, had declined to schedule a hearing for most of the legislative session, but she says she finally allowed one so that the bill could go to a vote in the House.
I've got some questions about this entire bill, but nevertheless, in order to extend an olive branch to the people who really want this bill, trying to do something to get this bill in a reasonable form so that we can get it to the floor.
The committee changed the bill so that it won't affect the use of electronic cigarettes or marijuana. It would also allow municipalities to opt out of the workplace smoking ban. Juneau Democratic Representative Sam Keto III opposed those changes.
We've got more than enough support for the bill as it sits on the House floor. I do not appreciate, I guess, having these changes being added at this late date in this forum on this particular bill.
The Senate passed the bill last year. Now it'll need to go back for another vote in the Senate if the House approves the changed version. Facebook founder Mark Zuckerberg took questions yesterday from nearly half the U.S. Senate. At the hearing, the CEO admitted that Facebook did not do enough to protect users' privacy or to prevent foreign interference in American elections. He says he accepts responsibility and even welcomes new federal regulation. But when it was Alaska Senator Dan Sullivan's turn to pose a question, Zuckerberg wasn't all that compliant. APRN's Liz Ruskin has the story.
Senator Sullivan's up next.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and Mr. Zuckerberg.
Sullivan opened with a question honoring the success of Facebook.
Quite a story, right? Dorm room to the global behemoth that you guys are. Only in America. Would you agree with that?
No, Zuckerberg did not agree.
Well, Senator, there are some very strong Chinese internet companies.
Right, but you're supposed to answer yes to this question. Okay, come on, I'm trying to help you, right? I mean, give me a break. You're in front of a bunch of... The answer is yes, okay? So thank you.
It was a light moment in a long hearing. But Sullivan went on to make a point about the dangers of regulation. Zuckerberg made clear he and the Alaska senator don't see it the same.
I'm not the type of person who thinks that all regulation is bad. So I think the internet is becoming increasingly important in people's lives, and I think we need to have a full conversation about what is the right regulation, not whether it should be or shouldn't be.
Zuckerberg may sound altruistic there, like he just wants what's best for society. But Sullivan questions whether Facebook would use its political power to push for regulations that cement its lead on competitors.
One of my biggest concerns about what you guys are doing is that the next Facebook, which we all want, the guy in the dorm room, we all want that to start it, that you are becoming so dominant that we're not able to have that next Facebook.
Zuckerberg says shutting out the little guy wouldn't be his approach to regulation, though he calls the concern valid. Sullivan only had a few minutes, but his name also came up when Democratic Senator Chris Coons asked Zuckerberg about malicious or phony Facebook pages. Just that morning, the Delaware senator said he found out someone had made a fake Facebook page for him. So Coons went online and found it.
And there's my picture with Senator Dan Sullivan's family. Same schools I went to, but a whole lot of Russian friends. Dan Sullivan's got a very attractive family, by the way.
No one disagreed. Reporting from Washington, I'm Liz Ruskin.
The Kobuk 440 sled dog race starts tomorrow. 17 mushers are competing in the mid-distance contest from Kotzebue to Kobuk and back. That roster includes reigning champion Jesse Holmes, as well as Iditarod veterans Nicola Petit, Hugh Neff, and Catherine Keith. The race's purse is $60,000, of which the winner will earn $15,000. The Kobuk 440 starts tomorrow afternoon in Kotzebue. And that's the news from Unalaska. I'm Laura Craigle, and you're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM. Find us online at kucb.org, and please stay tuned for your local and marine weather forecasts.